Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read from the New International Version, a powerful passage of scripture. I've entitled the message, United We Stand. United we stand. Romans 15, starting in verse 23. And if you're all there, as well as on the screen, let's go ahead and read the word. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. Verse 29. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Move in great power as I preach, as I teach. Let us never be the same as a result of your word that you stand over, knowing that it will not return void unto you. Fulfill your purpose, God, this morning, and every man, woman, and child. Release faith, release courage, release power. Decimate the assignment of the enemy over people. I pray that confusion would go. I pray that when we leave today after this 9 a.m. service, we will know that you have spoken to us and we would pass it on to others. I thank you that there's nothing we can't do when we stand united with you, your plan, your word. We are an unstoppable force and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person and say, hey man, united we stand, divided we fall. United we stand, divided we fall. That's a phrase that came from the revolutionary times of our nation and was a picture about how they, that statement about how we need to be united, how they needed to be united, because if they weren't going to be united, there's no way they're going to overthrow England. I believe in agreement. I believe in unity. If you don't have agreement, Ecclesiastes says, how can two of you walk unless there be agreement? A threefold cord is not easily broken. In Genesis chapter 11, which we have preached numerous times over the 18 years of being here, almost 18 years, Genesis 11 and verse 5, it says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that people were building. So this is the story of the Tower of Babel. And the Lord said, listen closely, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Wow. Now that was a unity and an agreement against the Lord under the leadership of Nimrod. It was that which is complete rebellion and is really a picture of the Antichrist and a one world government. That's really what that is. And if you want to hear more about that, just go to YouTube and type in Tower Babel, and that'll bring up that message. I think there's another one called Nimrodian Futility, which is actually a word, Nimrodian. You don't want to be like a Nimrod. That doesn't even sound good. Come on, somebody say amen. So God, and I like that. I like the humor in the Hebrew. For the Lord looked down this tower that goes to the heavens, and the Lord's like, "What are they doing down there? This massive tower." And the Lord's like, "Huh? What is? Oh, they're building a tower." I mean, it's just really quite funny. Let us go down there and confuse their language. Not to smash the tower. Just confuse their language. Just bring disunity. United we stand, divided we fall. Psalm 133, a picture of the high priestly anointing, how good and pleasant it is. Verse 3, for the brethren to dwell together in unity, where it is there that God commands a blessing. So there's no commanded blessing when there's disunity, discord. When there's discord, when there's envy, when there's strife, James says there's every evil thing. It's so important for us to walk in agreement, for us to be united. And that's quite a thing. I'm so blessed to lead this work and to be a part of King's Cathedral and Chapels. And I bring report of Dr. James Morocco having had a quadruple bypass, emergency quadruple bypass. We had a dear friend that pleaded with him to go into the hospital, and he finally agreed. When he went into the hospital, he said, "Don't move. Don't, you're staying here." And they performed Saturday morning at 8 a.m. in Dallas, Texas, open heart surgery with a quadruple bypass. And the report is, frankly, that his heart is weak, and we need to pray for his heart to be strengthened and for no blood clots. And he AFibbed a number of times, and that no more AFib, and just completely healing. Father, we pray now in Jesus' name for our senior global pastor, my pastor for 30 years, that you would come upon him. And I thank you that you're healing his heart. I thank you, Lord, that even as that prophet spoke with me yesterday, the work is not done. It's not done. It's not time. So thank you for extending his life. Heal him completely. Raise him up and use him powerfully as an apostolic leader across the world, in Jesus' name, amen. For the 42, 43 years that we've been a church, we have not had disunity. There's been agreement in the board. There's been agreement with the people. And as one of the reasons you see what you see here today, this is just one church of 600 plus churches around the world, although here in Wausau, it is one of the stronger ones, and we're grateful for God's grace in that. Unity. Agreement. Are you united? Are you not united with your wife? Are you united with your children? Are your children united with you, as you probably say? Are you united in vision, united at your business place? I don't know if you've ever been in a place where there's a lot of confusion and discord and backbiting, but it's no fun to work there. It's no fun to be around that. It's no fun to have that in our marriage. My wife and I, we have a beautiful marriage. And I'm so grateful for that. We're passionate. We discuss things passionately. And there's times where we're not in agreement. And so we work that through. And when she yields to me, it's all good. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. We prefer one another. And so it's a preferring and a yielding one to another. And I'm so grateful for her that she's bold. She looks all sweet. She have a whole nother gear. And you pray for her. She has to deal with the likes of me. I'm rather intense. She's intense too. And together we work things out. We never, ever do things without agreement. If you do things without agreement, you will not stand, because united we stand and divided we fall. In fact, many times a darkness lingers in an area because there's a lack of agreement. I think that's what's happened to Anchorage. I think one of the reasons we have such a breakthrough here and will continue to have a breakthrough as long as we stay united. I think what's happening to Anchorage is people just got off somehow. I mean, I don't know all the details. I just know by the Spirit. I don't go reading up on everybody's stuff. I'm not even on Facebook. I don't have time for that. I'm in his book instead. We post things, but I don't have time to. People want to have story about our $5 million building we built. I did hear that, so I went on and made sure they had it right. $28 million. Can't believe they wrote that $5 million building. That would have been awesome. I'd be like, paid off already. Praise God. It's not five, it's 28. But we owe under 21 now. Can you say praise the Lord? Agreement. Everybody say agreement. Unity. Say unity. John 17, Jesus prays for the church to be brought into unity. What's fascinating to me in Acts chapter 2, you see the very disunity that took place at the tower, yet in the upper room in the church's birth, unity comes, and that which caused confusion in language, God brings a unity by the language of the Spirit. Fantastic. How God brought an outpouring of his Spirit as promised in Joel 2. So why does the Apostle Paul say what he says in the text that we read? It's an unusual thing that he says a number of things in there that are unusual. Why did he tell them, I'm coming to you? Why did he say, join me in my struggle? Why did he do that? He had to let the vision be known. Everybody say, let the vision be known. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks at the end and will not prove false, though it linger. Wait for it. Paul understood the prophetic utterance and the power of agreement. He understood prophetic utterance and the power of agreement. That's not in your notes. It's worth writing down, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 reads, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Listen, you've got to get that in your spirit. If you'll learn to believe the word, be fully persuaded and convinced of what God's word says and begin to speak it. You know when people are persuaded. You know when a body is persuaded. You know when a person is persuaded that when they're speaking, what's coming out of their mouth is scripture, is the declaration. I'm healed and whole in Jesus' name. Even though you might look at your body and not feel real good right now, you know what God's will is. You know what God's word says, so you speak it over your body. I am healed by his stripes. I am fully persuaded. Sickness and disease is not from God. Infirmity is not from God. I've been made whole by his stripes, his blood. I've been made whole. I am healed. In Jesus' name, even though, like Abraham, when he looked at his body and against all hope, he hoped and believed in the word. That is what faith is. Yeah, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Well, maybe you're dumb. How about that? It's not the stupidest thing you ever heard. It's just different to the normal revelation of living a natural life. We are not natural people. We're supernatural people. And when God speaks to us and you see it in the word and you speak it, it releases power. There's prophetic utterance. Now, here's the thing. The reason this building stands here is it wasn't just one or two or three people agreeing. And there he was in the midst. I mean, that's powerful, and I thank God for that, and that's also true. But it was a company of people praying, decreeing, and it shall be built with shouts of praise. Well, wherever did you get that? You got it from us saying it over and over and over and over. Here, watch this. Minister Hank, stand up on your feet. Church, reach your hands out to the property. Pray. Yes.
Who are you, O great mountain? Zerubbabel, you shall become a level plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it in Jesus' name.
Somebody say hallelujah. It's a word. It's a word. It's a word. And so many people don't get in agreement. Listen, there's things you need to be not in agreement with. You know what it is? Your flesh. Don't be in agreement with your flesh. Don't be in agreement with a lie. Don't be in agreement with wicked people. Don't be in agreement with things that are not true. Line your heart up with God's word and speak it forth prophetically. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender, not the borrower. Oh, God before me, who can be against me? Thank you, Jesus. Just preach myself happy. Mark 11:22, so Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Actually, in the Greek is, have the faith of God. God's faith doesn't grow. It's a gift of faith. It's complete. God's faith is complete. Your faith, my faith, grows unless we're given the gift of faith. Another message. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Well, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, let me know how that works for you. Meanwhile, I'm going to stand on what God's word says, and I'm going to declare it, and I'm going to believe it. And that's why we see such breakthrough. There is incredible breakthrough upon us. In 10 months, by the grace of God, we were able to start the King's Christian School, 60 students approximately. And God gave us the finest educator. This is what I believe. Now, you might have your own opinion. I have mine. God gave us the finest educator in all the state of Alaska. She was at the very head of the Department of Education. She said, yes, her name is Principal Susie McKenzie, with her husband on the third row, Pastor Dwayne. She worked diligently, but it wasn't just work. It's not just hard work. You decree, you proclaim, you pray, you bind, you loose. How many of you know what binding and loosing is? Preach that in Anchorage. What a service. And when you do, you see what was impossible with man is possible with God, and you see breakthrough like we've seen breakthrough. The school has been birthed. It had its first week. And it's hard for me not to weep when I see all those beautiful little children going up the stairs with all their King's Christian School uniforms on, knowing that we are changing a generation by discipling them, redefining education, bringing Jesus back into the classroom, bringing prayer back into the classroom, bringing the power of God into the classroom. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. That is what the church should do. United we stand, divided we fall. We need to take the high ground. It is a war. Buck up. Not sure what buck up is, but Minister Hank told me to say that. Look at B. Paul, why did he write these things? He understood that his plans had to align themselves with God's plan. And God could do the impossible. I want you to say this. Say, my plans need to align themselves with God's plan. And then with God, nothing's impossible. Look, come on, think about that. Read it in your notes. He understood that his plans needed to be lined up with God's plan. And that with God, nothing's impossible. If you align your life up with the word, every area of your life, and begin to speak it out and declare it and pray and get others with agreement. Man, it is a beautiful thing to be in agreement. I remember years ago, I was in my late 20s, I think, and it was before TSA, so you could go all the way back to the gate and greet people coming off the plane. Does anybody remember that? It's like back at the Flintstones. Anybody remember that? And we're waiting for a guest speaker to come, and I went with a bunch of young adults. I was the head along with Pastor Karen. We led the young adult team there, and in Maui, King's Cathedral. And we're waiting for this young adult speaker. The guy was famous, and God was using him to heal people, set people free, and we're waiting for him to get off the plane. So the plane is delayed. And while we're sitting in an adjacent area, there is, a large plane leaving Hawaii, going back to California, wherever it was going. And there's hundreds of people, hundreds. So I don't know how many a large plane is. I mean, my estimation of 80 people getting saved, it was 45. You know, sometimes I miss, but it's a large plane. Everybody get the idea? And they're all waiting, and people are reading books, and people are just talking. There wasn't so much phone activity back then. People didn't have phones, but they had computers and different things. And so we're sitting there with about 5 or 6 young adults. And as I'm looking at this group of people, and they're waiting and we're waiting, I see a girl caught in a homosexual relationship. I discern it. I see it. And then I see a married couple. They like hate each other. And then I see somebody else addicted. My eyes start opening to all the bondage that these beautiful people are under, and I start getting a burden. And so I share with everybody, which in the flesh was a mistake, but it was the Spirit of God. I share with everybody, man, look at all those folks over there. And we start looking. And I said to them, how many of you think them are saved? How many of them actually know Jesus? And we're like, I don't know, man. Oh, God. So we just kind of pray, Lord. And I hear this from the Lord. When the watchman is on the wall, if he does not blow the trumpet and warn of the ensuing attack, then the blood is on his hands. And I thought, what does that mean, Lord? And I thought, oh, yeah. And I heard it again. Your blood will be on the hands of the watchman who doesn't blow the trumpet. And I thought, is the plane going to crash? Like seriously? Like, I need to do... The blood is on the hands of the watchman. So I share that with these young adults that I'm with. And one of them's like, he just starts praying in tongues. Come on, you need to surround yourself with tough people. You need to surround, you know what I mean by tough? People that are agreement, people that'll walk in unity with you, people that are like-minded. You need to surround yourself with people like that on your inner circle. Jesus had Peter, James, and John. He did not have the 12 all up close. You must have a Peter, James, and John, because if you don't, it'll be hard to charge hell with a water pistol if God calls you to. And that's what that felt like. So I share with them the scripture. You know, the Lord just spoke to me out of Ezekiel. And I told him, and the guy starts praying in tongues. I'm like, oh, God. So I'm so bothered and so concerned, and now I feel like it's all my responsibility if I don't tell them about Jesus. So I want God to pick somebody else. So I step up. I'm like, Jesus, come on now. Come on. Come on, Lord, really, seriously. Watchman's on the wall. You're on the wall. You need to say it. I look back. I see more. But I'm chicken. I don't want to tell everybody. And so I'm like, Lord. So I pray in the spirit. And I look and I see the perfect place to preach to these hundreds of people at this airport. And it's right by a payphone. A payphone of these phones they used to have, and they hung on the wall. And then it started like with a nickel or a dime, and then it went to a quarter, and now you never see them. It's kind of like prehistoric, these things, payphones. So this is payphone. And I look at it, I go, that's the perfect place. But there's some people standing by it. I thought, Lord, that's the perfect place. But there's, and the guy just goes and just walks off. Now my pulpit, the place I wanted to pre-speak from, is open. I'm like, oh, okay. And I feel like the Lord says, just go stand there, son. So I go and I stand there. I'm looking at all these people now. Some people are looking at me. I'm like, okay. Lord, can you just anoint me right now? Just come on me with fire. Because I knew what that was. So like, I don't feel a drip of anointing. I don't feel nothing. Zero, absence of obey. All I hear is like, blood's on your hands, son. I'm like, oh, come on. And so I said, God, can you encourage me? Lord, would you just touch me? Just give me, just would you push me one more time? I just didn't have the courage. I look on the far side. And there's this young adult who comes along the far wall. One of my leaders comes in like this. Come on. That's what he's doing. I'm like, that's my encouragement. And so I just jumped off a cliff and I preached the gospel to all these people. And a bunch of people gave their hearts to Jesus, and other ones wanted to kill me. It's kind of the same thing that happens in church. And some people didn't hear a thing I said. But when there's agreement, there's a boldness that can be released. God's power is released in agreement. It's a great joy to live in a united we stand, divided we fall. Paul shared the vision because it's crucial to fulfillment of God's dream in the earth of expanding his kingdom. Romans 4 verse 17, it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom had believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. I'm told that last Sunday night was one of those messages. Somebody said, that's the best message you ever brought. I don't know, best message, whatever. I just know I've been impacted by that text and following. And this understanding of agreement, this understanding of being fully persuaded. Paul shared the vision so that people could be fully persuaded and get in alignment with God's plan and begin to make prophetic decree and declare it. The reason there was 415 people in Anchorage wasn't because we had great marketing, although it was decent, but we didn't go crazy marketing. We didn't spend thousands upon thousands of dollars marketing. You can do that. It's not hard to do. There was an agreement. There was prayer, and people showed up, and God poured out his spirit. Why? Because there was agreement. What could God do in your marriage? What could God do in your family? What could God do in your business if you'll just get in agreement? What could God do in the church? Oh, I think he's doing it, but there's even more to do. Come on, somebody says, it's not over yet. There's more work to do. The vision is not fulfilled. Needed to be in agreement with them so we could also get their help. Moving on in the notes. Verse 24. So that you could assist me on my journey. Assist me. What does that mean? He wants them to give money to him so that they can help him on his journey. But it's not just assist him, but it's also to pray for him. Now I beseech ye, verse 30, brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and the love of the Spirit, is the New King James, that ye strive together. Strive. Strive together with me in your prayers to God. It's an understanding that there's a war. They ask him to pray for him because there's a war going on. Just because it's God's will. Some people think, well, it's just going to happen. It's God's will. It's just going to happen. Not necessarily. There's certain things that just happen because God does it. Other things, it's God's intention, God's plan. He'll give you a promise, but you, if you don't take that and wield it and stand on it and speak it and declare it and take action, faith is the action you take on the way to your hope. So if you have a promise, faith is what you do. Faith is acting on God's word. And if you don't understand that, prayer releases God's power. If you're praying continually, you release continual power surges in your life. But it's the evidence of a war. Clearly, there's war. Because God has a will, and the enemy has a will. You have a will. Join me in my struggle, another version says. My struggle? Have you prayed like that? This understanding of being united, being in agreement. There's nothing more powerful than a husband and a wife agreeing in prayer. There is nothing more, I'm going to say that again. There's nothing more powerful than a husband and wife agreeing in prayer. And if you put a whole bunch of those together, it's called a church family, and there's nothing more powerful than a church family agreeing in prayer. We will see vision come to pass. Nothing more powerful than a church that comes together as we have. I had people ask me, how did you, banks laughed us out of the office? Nobody would give us money. And we're like, well, we'll just build. I had somebody say to me, well, I know what you guys are doing. You're taking so long to build that because you're building it cash. Yeah, no, we tried that, but it just didn't happen. So we had Christian banks loan us some money, and we have some debt. I told you, just under $21 million. And I'm grateful. You are? The Bible says don't have any debts. No, it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It says let no debt remain. So we're going to pay it off. Amen. Praise God. Come on, somebody say amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen. trying to get you in agreement. Can you say another amen?
Amen.
I want you to speak that over this place over and over. Let no debt remain except a debt of love is what the scripture says. God's speaking to us really clearly, I believe, this morning. There must be a sharing of vision. There's got to be a sharing of what your hopes are with your family, with your spouse, with your children. We're going to preach on families up and coming, but as an aspect of that, let me just share that we brought our kids into our struggles, not the full weight of them, because they can't handle the full weight of that depending upon the age that they are and where they're at in growth in the Lord. So, I mean, you can crush a kid and make them fearful. You don't want that, but you want just the right amount so that they join with you and that their faith grows so that when they see the manifestation of the answer to prayer and the breakthrough, they own it. And they're like, God answered prayer. Yeah, he did. And then what happens? And then you make them a partner, because if you're just bringing them along and not sharing anything with them, now you got to be careful. But when you share with them, you share vision with them. Worship team, please. You share vision with them, it causes them to grow in faith, and it brings a greater agreement in your life. The vision of the 12-120, right back in your notes, the vision of our 12-120. By 2025, the end of 2025, 1,200 congregations. You know, I went through quite a day yesterday. My father is just got a titanium valve replacement. My earthly father, my biological dad, he's in Florida, and I'm going to go see him in September. And he's struggling with some cognitive things. He's 86. My dad is one of the sharpest men. There's no word that he didn't know. He's just knew Latin. You know, I mean, he's just like, he was a scholar in many ways, one of the hardest workers I've ever seen, and a man of integrity. Not so much a man of God, but he modeled other things, and for that I was very grateful. To see him not 100%, man, I just don't like that. It's toying with me a little bit. And at the same time as he's going through that, then my spiritual father, Dr. Morocco, goes through a quadruple bypass, and I sense in the spirit yesterday that it was touch and go. You know what I mean by that? Things were in the balance. We just so happened to have 171 leaders in a what's called a rally. We're going to launch about 175 on the way to 200 life groups. Saturday morning, we had 171 leaders, 20 youth and 29 children all gathered here. And it was then that we received this call, text, that we needed to really intercede because he had AFibbed and a number of things have happened, and we roared in prayer for Dr. Morocco. That's not an accident. God just set all that up. And it was one of those moments that where time just began to stop. I don't know about you, but when I go through great intensity and challenge, it's almost like I can feel the earth turning. Things are slower. And it felt like that. And I didn't know exactly where things were going to go. And I just had to continue to speak it out and declare it. You go through things. There's a war. Oh, wouldn't the enemy love to take out Dr. Morocco? Wouldn't the enemy love to take out any one of us? We're going to see this vision fulfilled, the 12-120. I came when there was three extensions. We now have over 600. So how's that going to happen? Just like it did the first 600. God's calling us to believe for the impossible. Can you say amen? He's calling us to, listen, again, I said this on Sunday night. Go listen to Sunday night, first of all, apparently. Apparently, it's a very strong word. And this Sunday night, I'll preach again a different message, but it's going to be powerful. If you remove yourself from what we've walked through as a body of believers, then you won't apply it to your family. See, one of the great points is if God could do what he's done here, the building of a school, and not just a school. Some of you aren't aware, we're opening a rehab in October. It's called the King's Dream Center. We purchased 30 acres. This is on the side at the same time. And God has done miracles for the school that's been birthed. has done miracles for the church in Anchorage. It's time now to see the full birthing of this. This is the next thing. This now needs to happen because we have so many people that are broken. I think we'll have room for 12 students. There's a lot of work to be done before October. The King's Dream Center, say it. The King's Dream Center. It's a rehab. It opens in October. How do you do all of that at one time? While still doing this building and contending, Eagle River needs a building, opening Anchorage. Have you lost your mind? Yes, we have the mind of Christ. I understand. I'm learned that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when God speaks, we move. Now listen, take it home. Take it back to your house. Don't isolate that as some church thing and then have your own life devoid of walking in power and authority and seeing your babies come home and your business prosper and miracles. You know, while I'm preaching last night, talking about a move of God in Anchorage that happened in the 90s to Rodney Howard Brown, while I'm preaching, while I'm talking about that, saying God's going to do it again and more, I said, how many of you were here during Rodney Howard Brown? They raised their hands. Not that many people, but a few. And then he texts me while I'm preaching. He's checking on Dr. Morocco. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to call him. So I called him and it went to voicemail. I thought, well, it was very late, but I know he stays up late too. So I said, well, I didn't reach him. I was going to have him pray. He calls me back. The hundreds of people in a brand new church plant where he had a great outpouring there. They had a great outpouring. I put him on speaker and he prayed and the power of God touched all the people. How does that happen? How does that happen? It's the supernatural power of God. Bring it back to your house. God's calling on us is to believe for the impossible in your home, in your finances, in your physical body, at the church house, and in your house. We must rely, lastly, we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purposes. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Rely on the power of God. I think I have seven messages I was working on for Anchorage. I got these prophetic words. I got all this stuff. None of them are the message yesterday. And I'm just like, Lord, I just couldn't find it. And I just finally got to the place. Is anybody stubborn besides me? I'm kind of stubborn in some things. So I got to the place where I'm like, can you just talk to me right now? And I felt like the Lord said, I am. I thought, okay, what are you saying? And I said, like, God, she's going to have a Holy Ghost service or do whatever you have to do. You have to tell me. And during the Saturday morning, so it's just a few hours before Anchorage would start, Saturday morning, God hit me with the word of the Lord for Anchorage. And the rest of it just came together. Some of you get so uptight. Just stay in the place of abiding. Stay in the place of united with him. Walk with him. Talk with him. With your brothers, with your sisters. Paul was sharing the vision so that they could pray, so that they could participate, so that they would get an agreement, so that the alignment of his plans and God's plan would be one and God would do the impossible. That is what God will do in your family. United we stand, divided we fall. Get in agreement. It's an emergency. Some of you squabble over so many stupid things. Stop. My wife and I are trying to figure out a new way of driving because I love to drive, except I love to drive. She likes me to drive, but I like driving. So when I get in the car with her, I have to like slow down. I have to increase the distance. I'm not saying she's wrong. It's just saying our depth perception is much different. And so when I'm in a rush or I'm really just cranked up, I just cause her a whole lot of stress. I don't want to do that anymore. But it's like a generational iniquity that I have to come over every time I get in the car. I think it comes from my father's side. Hallelujah. I just cranked my music. I know, I've seen you drive, Minister Toby. Don't be looking at me like that. We're not always in agreement when we're driving. and it causes strife. That's just a little picture. In your family, in your marriage, in your finances, in your business, in your life, are you in agreement with God's word? Are you in agreement with those around you? Are you united? We are united in this church, and I'm thankful for it. What do you do if there's division? Confront it. And then do what? Correct it. And then what? Well, we can agree to disagree, but if somebody's causing division, the scripture talks about, you know why we don't have division here? Because if you cause division, you're going to get dealt with lovingly. And then if you don't correct and you still cause division, you'll be dealt with at another level. And then soon, if you're still going to do that scripturally, you have nothing, you are asked to have fellowship elsewhere. You will not stay here and cause division and hurt people and do that. Why? That's why we have unity. You say, well, they're going to hurt people's feelings. Yeah. Some people, my gosh, I think we should close. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands to Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of walking in unity. Thank you for the privilege that united we stand, divided we fall, from our family, our marriages, our children, the single people. We want to be united with your word. We want to be divided from the world. We want to be, as we started with Psalm 1, delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on it even day and night, being like a tree planted by the rivers. We want to be used, God, to change the world. And I thank you for the authority you've given us. You've entrusted us with the authority to enforce and release your kingdom. Yes, some of it's sovereign, but other parts you partner, you co-labor. We're your ambassadors. You co-labor with us. We're important to God. You're important to God. In the economy of heaven, you are important. Just talk to Jesus for a moment longer. Service will be concluded. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit show you where you're jacked up. Let the Holy Spirit ask the Holy, do I have anything in me that's out of agreement with your word? Ask him that. Do I have anything in my life? Some of you wrestling with porn and you're yielding to it. Children's church is upstairs. It's not here. Some of you wrestling with tithing. Some of you wrestling with different things and you don't realize that you're breaking agreement with God's. God can't bless that which is out of accord with his word. He wants to bless you, wants to help you, wants to strengthen you, wants you to do the impossible with his help. But if you don't get an agreement, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show us things right now in our lives that are out of accord, things that are out of agreement, things where there's no unity. Show us so that we could change it. We thank you. We rely on you, Holy Spirit, to help us to change for your purpose. We give you praise. Put your best hand clap together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.